How you doing there? Just a quickie before we start. On the Apple podcast, why don't you double click on David McWilliams Plus? It's right there when you open the podcast. You get ad-free, you unlock early access. Just double click and away you go. David McWilliams Plus. You get this pure and simple.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
To understand the economy, you have to understand human nature.
This podcast is powered by Acast.
How are you doing there? Kilkenomics, John, the world's only festival of comedy and economics. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish who's the comedian, who's the economist, but it is.
Is that the truth?
November the 3rd to the 6th in Kilkenny. One city, three nights, 50 plus events. Get your tickets at kilkenomics.com. Anyway, John and I are sitting here talking about the drummer of the Arctic Monkeys. And I was amazed by the fact that this is a guy, I think his name is Helders, and I was watching them, right? I was just talking about gigs to John there. And he not only was he keeping the whole rhythm section together, right?
Yeah.
But he was drumming and he was singing falsetto with a mic that was kind of stuck, right? Just to the left-hand side of his beak, right? And I was just thinking, this is a guy who can drum. And you know, the Arctic Monkeys, it's really, really, really quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you've got to be up for it.
Full on, full on.
You've got to be up for it.
2 minute, full on, 3 minute. He could drum. He could hold the whole thing together. He kept the timing. And his ability to sing choruses and sing high notes while doing all this, it's an extraordinary performance.
But that's the beauty of drum. I love drummers. You know, the old joke about drummers is they just hang around musicians.
Yeah, exactly. And they just hit things.
How do you know a drummer's at the door? The knock slows down. All that kind of stuff. But Levon Helm was one of my favorite drummers.
You know, that sounds like a member of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, but no. He was a member of the band with Robbie Robertson.
God, the band, Jesus.
He was an amazing drummer.
Preserve me. Look, let's
and
go
he
back.
Had, and he
let's
had the back. Mic above. Did
let's
all
go
the
back
singing
to Italian
stuff.
Disco. The band, I would rather eat live worms than listen to the band. Anyway,
man,
let us talk economics. It's good to see you, Bosco. Let us talk economics. Today, I want to talk about the international property market.
Right.
I want to talk about what's happening. I want to talk about interest rates. I want to talk about the shift in the market. And I want to talk about the fact that it's almost like generals fighting the last war. The analysis of the property market 2022 is a bit like people's analysis of the property market 2008.
Yeah.
They're two entirely different creatures. And it's absolutely like, you know, that great expression, generals always fight the last war.
Yeah.
So they think the incoming is going to come from the place it came last time out.
And it
comes from somewhere else.
Well, actually, just before we get onto that.
Sorry, do you know what I did there? I fucking crossed it into you just to knock it in.
Speaking of generals, Magger.
Oh, yes, indeed.
This is the other thing.
Can I just sit back here? I will give you two cigars. We'll get out a map of the world. The armchair generals, the pair of them.
Pass me the brandy there.
Pass me the brandy. Do you know that I don't know if you've noticed this yourselves, though, that everybody now has turned into an armchair general. I'll tell you about the front and Donetsk.
No, we were talking about this earlier, and that's why I'm bringing it up. But it was the whole thing that I saw on, it was on Twitter as well, on Russian state TV. For the first time, there was a guy talking about the big fight that's coming up, that Russia actually is in a very bad position. So it's like the cracks are beginning to appear in Russian state TV and in the Kremlin.
You know, and he kept saying, I saw that piece, and he kept saying, Yana Panomayish, which means I don't understand. And what he's trying to say is, I don't understand what we've been told, right?
Right,
it doesn't
okay,
make
yeah,
any
yeah,
sense
yeah,
to me.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Well, I mean, that is the big story. That is the huge story. And interestingly, in the same way as the Kremlin woke up this week, or in the last 10 days since last weekend, realizing that they've got a fight in their hands. Financial markets woke up these last few days realizing they also have a fight on their hands, and that fight's against inflation, and it could be a long, long slog. So what happened in the last couple of days, John, was that American inflation rate was announced, and it was hoped by everybody or assumed that it would begin to fall. Now, the reason it was assumed is because actually gas prices have been falling in America. Petrol prices have been falling in America.
Yeah.
A lot of the supply chain problems are being ironed out. Now, the ones that post-pandemic are being ironed out.
Yeah.
There was a sense that leading indicators are turning downwards. The American economy is softening. So all that people assumed will translate into a lower rate of inflation. That would allow the Fed to take a break and to be slower about increasing interest rates. It's the soft landing idea, okay? July inflation in the States comes in. Core inflation, that's when you strip out food and energy.
Right.
So is running above 6%. Now that means...
That's the first time in what? How many years?
About 40 years.
Wow. Okay.
So it also means that America is now raising interest rates faster than they have done in 40 years. But what it means is that the presumption that the Fed could kind of sit in its hands, allow the economy to slow down, allow the leading indicators to kick in, and we would gradually see inflation falling, has been completely reversed. So you see a total reversal in expectations about what's going to happen to interest rates now. Now people are pricing in 100 basis points, which is 1%. Doesn't sound a huge amount, but when you're coming off zero, it's a lot, okay?
Right, okay, yeah.
When I see, you're not coming off zero, you're moving from zero. That means that by Halloween, American interest rates could be 3%, right?
And, now, and what will that mean?
Well, what that means is that a huge amount of investment that was made during the period of zero interest rates will look incredibly, incredibly stupid. Right. Remember what John Stuart Mill said about the bust. The bust that is coming never really destroys your wealth. It only evidences the amount of your wealth that has already been destroyed by bad decisions taken in the good times.
Right.
Okay. This is the other idea, is that the worst investment decisions are regularly taken in what were perceived as the best of times. So when you look at that, you see a huge change in perception of risk. And we're going to talk about property in a second and how that's changed, right? That's the first thing. So the Americans now realize, and of course, America is the only thing that matters. Everybody else follows them, right?
Yeah.
The Americans realize they could be in for a slow grinding battle against inflation, which will drive interest rates up higher than they expected, quicker than they expected. Now, what that will do is that will reframe the efficacy of a huge amount of investments taken at times when interest rates were zero. And I'm just going to, just one last thing. The thing about interest rates being at zero is it destroys what's called the time value of money. That's the key. So if you think about interest rates as being either the price of money or maybe more interesting, the price of time.
Right.
So if the long-term interest rate is 5%, that is a price on the future. And by putting a price on time, it allows people invest in various different time frames, right?
Right,
so,
okay.
So money allows you, this is the interesting thing about money, right? Money allows you travel in time. It allows you to time travel. So you borrow from today to invest in tomorrow.
This sounds like the thermodynamics that Michael Saylor was talking about a while ago.
It doesn't, because what Michael Saylor was talking about was economic energy.
Right, okay.
Which doesn't exist. Only an engineer would say something like that. Okay?
Okay, go on.
So, but the idea is that if you decide, okay, let's say for example, you're buying a house.
Yeah.
You have a 30-year mortgage. What you've actually done is you've imagined yourself in 30 years' time to be richer than you are now.
Mm.
And you said, I'm going to borrow from my rich future self to pay for my relatively poorer present self.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is I'll borrow across time horizon and I'll pay an interest rate of 5%. So what basically happens is you borrow from one world and you play in another world. That's a way I look.
Hoping
to God. And yes, exactly. Yeah. And you don't know about it. So it's basically a bet. It's a gamble. It's a bet on the future.
Yeah.
Now, if interest rates go to zero, that world is destroyed because you can't price the future. So that leads to what's called in economics misallocation of resources, because there's no risk profile in the
future.
So
they have been zero for the last...
Precisely.
So people
are putting loads and loads of money into future investments that haven't been priced properly. The risk profile hasn't been priced properly because the central banks have decided that it's better to bail out today than worry about tomorrow.
Right.
Now, what happens when interest rates begin to rise, all those investments
which
they're rising now.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. All those investments which were made at zero interest rates, and we're going to talk to them because the Irish property market is full of them, global property market is full of them, all look very stupid. And the reason is the following. All of those investments in the last 10 years in global property have been taken at a time when the investors couldn't price risk properly because the rate of inflation and the rate of interest is at zero. And now, I mean, you just look at the numbers. The numbers are huge, John.
Okay, Mary Beth Mac, hold on a second before you get there.
Okay,
Because you're
I'm in the
Mr.
time
doom
value.
And gloom.
No, it's not different to do. It's Mr. Let's see what happens when interest rates go back to positive. So when the time value of money is a little bit more regular.
Okay, before we talk about the impact of all of that, just explain to me the difference between now and what happened in 2008.
Good question. And it's interesting because, we were doing a podcast in China a couple of weeks ago, and I was making the point that because the Chinese market looks as if it's crashing, it could have an impact in the global background noise for property. And lots of Patreons and lots of people came back and said, but hold on a second. Surely you don't include Ireland in this because Ireland has a growing population, a dearth of properties, high rents, etc. And I said, now, hold on a second. The world has changed dramatically since 2008. If you are looking with the framework of 2008 at the property market now, you will be like the general fighting the
generals,
last war.
Yeah.
So in 2008, you have a very bizarre thing. You have local banks borrowing heavily abroad, stuffing money into the gob of the local economy. Prices going up, local people being heavily indebted.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
So the transmission mechanism of the crash was from banks that went bust, forcing people to sell their property and forcing investors to sell their properties, taking money out of the system, pushing down property markets, prices, and this impacting the real economy through taxes and a lack of activity, right?
But now we have growing population and we have a big demand for property and all around.
Let's go back to the transmission mechanism. The transmission mechanism now is not from local banks. Irish retail banks aren't really involved in property anymore, right? Not in a huge way.
Right.
Now the global picture is not investment banks like Lehman and these guys going bust. Now the global picture is private equity firms going bust. So the private equity firms, investment funds, all the various different funds that are involved have taken over the property market, right? They are where the problem is now. The new transmission mechanism is going to go, they're going to go bust and explain why. They will be forced to sell to raise cash. Those forced sellings will drive down property prices all over the world. And the real economy, the local real economy and the local guy is not going to be that badly infected. In fact, I think will be much better off. So you will have a bizarre situation. You will have a global financial crisis where the average guy comes out smelling of roses.
Hey, that's good news, man.
So let's look at how it happens.
Okay, give us a kind of an overview of the global market.
I'll give you an overview, right?
With a few numbers and stuff attached.
Okay, in 2021, the amount of what they call professionally managed real estate, which are largely private equity funds, stood at $11.4 trillion in 2021. That's up from $10.5 trillion. This is worldwide, okay? Right. The American economy...
These are numbers. I can't get my head around.
I'll give you a sense of the American economy is about $22
trillion. Okay,
right, so that gives you a sense, right?
Yeah, it does.
You a really, really good sense. So about half the American economy, okay, imagine that...
That's amazing.
...is invested in these funds. And just give you a... In terms of the 11.4 trillion, the market is divided about 4.6 trillion of this is in the United States, About 3.8 trillion of this, or 34%, is the EMEA, which is Europe, Middle East, and Africa. And the APAC region, about 3 trillion. So what you're talking about...
That's including Evergrande or...
This is including Evergrande. But what you're talking about is the possibility of contagion in this highly leveraged global market. So don't look at property as your house.
Mm.
Look at property for the purpose of this discussion as a global asset class where the potential for contagion from higher interest rates is so obvious and it's so evident. Now, everybody who's in the property business here is trying to say, oh, no, that won't happen. That can't possibly because we've loads of people and whatever. Mm. Forget the fact that we've loads of people. That will make no difference. Because what's actually going to happen here is interest rates are going to set the tone. The last crash was all about income. People didn't have the income to pay
for their debt. Yeah.
This is all about interest rates. Income is fine, but interest rates are rising really quickly because inflation is rising quickly.
Right.
So you have to get a totally different framework to look at this property market. Now, look at Ireland, right? In 2021... 5 billion euros was invested in the Irish commercial real estate by these funds, right?
Yeah.
That's in commercial. 1.7 billion was invested in residential. Now, that means that huge amounts of money are being invested by foreigners. This is why people get pissed off about the buy-to-rent and all that stuff.
Yeah, and buying up full housing estates and blocks of flats.
All that
and stuff.
Carrying. You think, okay, how is that financed? Okay, who are these people, right? So in the old days, a builder would go to a bank and he'd say, I'm going to buy this field. I'm going to build 20 houses and that. The relationship is between you and me, right? Now the banks are out of the game. Now what is happening is a private equity fund is set up.
From anywhere.
Wherever. It's a special purpose vehicle, right? With a fellow with a spreadsheet. And they go and they say, we're going to buy housing estate in Ireland. And we are going to get 5% yield. Okay, so what we're going to do are 4% yield. So basically, our revenue after our costs is going to be about, if we invest 100 euros, we're going to get 4% profit.
Mm.
So they say, okay, that's great. And we can borrow 2% in order to achieve all this.
Yeah.
So basically, there's a 2%, what they call a free carry. As long as interest rates remain at 2%, there's a 2% profit margin.
Happy days.
Over and above costs, right?
Yeah.
So that has forced all these hundreds of millions, billions of euros into the market, which you see all the time around Ireland, okay?
Yeah.
Now, that game only makes sense if interest rates don't rise. When interest rates rise, that investment looks like what they call a bond investment. So it's a yield play. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if interest rates start to rise rapidly? The economic and financial efficacy of all those companies disappears. They all go bust.
So we spoke about this before, in many moons ago in a podcast, where they end up, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but they end up selling good assets to pay for the bad assets.
Precisely. It's called a Minsky moment. Joe.
Minsky moment. That's
it. Do you know who came up with the term Minsky moment? Paul McCulley.
Preacher Paul.
Preacher Paul, who's giving a talk at Kilconomics on the future of finance. Do not miss it. He's giving a shout. He's going to be Paul talking about it. But if you want to understand the intricacies of the global economy, this is the man that ran the investment committee at the biggest bond fund in the world, at PIMCO, making all these calls. He has enormous knowledge in his head.
He's such a lovely man.
He's a great man. He's sweet. As a boss now, when I was young, he was hard, but you learned so much from him.
He cracked the whip, did he?
Yeah. He'd say, I would write a piece, he'd say, an undergraduate would not deliver that type of work.
Ouch.
And then you just have to go off and agonize and sweat. He says, I like you, you know, but I learned so much from
him. Get your shit together, McWilliams.
But yeah, basically, I like you, but you're good for shit at this game. But actually, so have a look, kilconomics.com. Paul McCulley, Friday night, well worth it, right? But let's have a look exactly what's happening, right? That all these investments are all predicated on interest rates being low.
Mm, mm.
Now we have evidence that interest rates rise. So to come back to your question about the good versus bad.
Yeah.
So then what this is called margin called. So for example, the special purpose vehicle usually has a really shitty Greek name like Omega, Alpha, Epsilon Capital, right? So it's some Egypt who went to a frat house in America. And came out Epsilon Capital, right? Okay. And they set it up as a special purpose vehicle with a fellow with a spreadsheet and a good lawyer, right?
And it couldn't be just called Barry's Fund.
No, it couldn't be our Mix Fund.
Yeah.
Yeah, our Dahi's Fund. No. It has to have some sort of pathetic reference to Thessala, Greek mythology to, I don't know, Xenophon's Fund, right?
Yeah.
Fund is a leveraged special purpose vehicle, which means they put in $10, they borrow $90. The fund is worth $100, right? Mm. So who do they borrow $90 from? From investment banks, from other players, from the market, whatever. But their obligation is to make sure that that ratio between 90 and 100 remains the same.
Yeah.
Now, if their property prices fall, they then have to sell in order to raise cash, which is called margin, to give back to their investors cash.
Yeah. Okay.
So what happens is you get a margin call on all this leverage stuff. This is like subprime, except it's for rich guys.
Right.
Subprime was for poor guys. Right. This is subprime for rich fuckers, okay?
Good right? enough for them.
Right? So they're going to get a margin call from their other rich mates.
Yeah.
And suddenly what they've got to sell assets. So they've got to look at their portfolio and see, okay, which assets do we want to sell? Now, you always want to sell the shitty stuff first.
Okay. Sure.
Anybody in a crisis who comes to you and offering, say, ooh, would you like to buy this? You know it's crap.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason is they'll try to sell you the stuff with the lowest yield. And if you look at, for example, prime office space, Dublin's yield is 4%, but Munich's yield is 2.65%. Paris's yield is 2.85%. Amsterdam, 3%.
Why so low?
Because they're so expensive, right? So the actual properties are so unbelievably expensive that it's almost impossible to push the rents up sufficiently high. Okay, because they're prestige buildings and all that sort of stuff.
But and when does rent capping come into this at all?
No, because this is prime. This would be prime office market. Okay, this is where the real action is.
Yeah.
It's all interlinked, right? Mm. So what will happen is there's a margin call. They need to come up with cash. They try to sell their dodgy assets. Nobody wants them. Mm. So they have to sell their good assets for cash. So that's the way in which bad assets drag down good assets, which is the Minsky moment, which is when you know you're in a crisis. So the good becomes bad. Basically, the bottom line is, John, when interest rates rise, you don't want to have any debt. When interest rates rise, you don't want to have any debt on your balance sheet because it destroys you. But we have had, we know, the buildup of enormous amounts of debt over the last while. So all those investments which were taken during markets where interest rates were zero will look ridiculous, right? Now, the interesting thing is, if all these companies go bust, who cares?
But so this sounds like basically a rich man's game.
Yeah, you're right. This is a Wall Street problem. Now, the key thing, we'll talk about it afterwards, is to make sure that it remains a rich man's problem.
Absolutely.
Because there's an avenue where the small guy can win here. But the key then is to make sure that it remains a rich man's problem. So let's talk about that after the break.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here.
I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Okay, Mark. So this is fascinating stuff, actually, because
high finance,
which, yeah, I'm kind of out of
you
the
would
depths
pay slightly. Goldman Sachs you'd pay Goldman Sachs 100 grand for this advice.
I wouldn't pay Goldman Sachs nothing.
I wouldn't. Yeah, exactly.
But so just go, Mark, because my reference point is 2008.
Yeah.
So I know we can't look through that lens of 2008. But
it's helpful.
Yes. But back in 2008, it was the average punter.
Yes.
Who was the owner. And they got stung. And they got stung badly. But now it is the rich guys, the investment funds, all those dudes.
Yeah.
So talk to me about this.
So by the way, just so you know, when this happens, and it will, on television and on podcasts and radio.
Yeah.
Lackeys for the rich guys will come out and say, oh yeah, but it's your pension that is involved.
Yes, yeah.
My Swiss roll. I'll tell you exactly what's happening, right?
Go on, yeah. Okay. Go on, tell us. I must get a pension.
What happened? We both must get pensions. We're going to live forever. We're going to be fine. Okay. But
to work forever.
What happened, right? So 2008 is very important to understand the transmission mechanism. I come back again.
Just to
recap, the podcast is all about what happens if interest rates go to 5%. Okay. Let's keep that in the back of our heads. How does it play out? How does it play out particularly for property? And what we're saying is because property has morphed from being you and me getting a mortgage to very, very wealthy individuals investing these private equity funds, buying up large swathes of the Irish and global property market, extracting rents out of people. That's the model, right?
Yeah. I just want to be clear, by the way. Mac and me did not get a mortgage together. I just want to be clear about that.
Yeah. I asked him.
It's just a flat no, Mac.
Yeah, no, I know. It's a flat no. It was before gay marriage was legalized. We couldn't get it. So
sorry, go on, Mac. Sorry.
So in the old, so in 2008, the little guy was leveraged up the yin-yang, was sold expensive property by brokers in the middle. Okay. Then there was the FOMO, the fear of missing out, the herd behavior, all that sort of stuff. The brokers were working in tandem with the banks, so much so that in actual fact, the brokers and the banks owned each other, right?
Yeah.
As they still do now, but hopefully we're educating everybody on this podcast, right? And the banks were stuffing the brokers full of commission if they sold properties and loans to people.
Yeah.
Right? So there was remember I always say the banks go bad from the inside out.
Yeah.
As I always said, the easiest way to rob a bank is to run it. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? So that was the market there. When property prices collapsed last time, the little guy who'd bought their three bed semi out in West Dublin, for example, for 300 grand, suddenly saw it was worth 150.
Yeah.
Now that means their balance sheet was destroyed. So their balance sheet, because on the one side of the balance sheet was the asset, which had halved in value. Mm. But on the other side of the balance sheet was the debt, which had remained the same.
Mm.
So that's why people had to kind of grind out the period between 2008 and almost to 2016, 17, just trying to keep your head above water.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's 2008.
But they still had the asset.
But this, and as the asset prices continued to rise, negative equity fell. And over time, more people every year got out of negative equity. And we end up in a situation like now.
Yeah.
However, the dynamic has changed completely because now, as you saw, do you remember the statistic we talked about? The percentage of Irish people between 25 and 35 who own their own home had halved from 60% to 30%,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's those 30% are now in the rental market. They stand to gain because what's going to happen is the private investors are going to get screwed because their yield game reverses on them.
Mm.
Their investors will look for margin. They will then have to sell in order to get cash. Their selling is going to put downward pressure on the price of all developments and all apartment blocks here.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will put downward pressure on rents. As long as the state allows this to happen.
But the big question, Mac, is, I'm loving this, but the big question is, when? When is this going to happen?
Ah, when you see, John, this is the difficult. Look, what I'm saying is, right, you don't have to be so clever as to be able to pinpoint the precise day the temperature is going to change. All you got to know in general is winter is coming.
Mm.
This is what's going to happen. We have moved from a world of low interest rates to a world of high interest rates. Once you do that, it means, and it doesn't matter whether or not they remain high for a long time, that shock to the system changes all the permutations, all the calculations. There's also a generation. If you imagine, right, interest rates have been very, very low since 2009.
Yeah.
That's maybe, 13 years. In a career, that could be half somebody's career in finance.
Sure.
So there's many people working in finance now who've no idea what a high real interest rate is. They've no idea. They've been working on the basis of a dream world. Once that changes, all those permutations change. And the question is, people say, oh yeah, but when's it going to happen? Give me the precise date. No idea.
Mm.
But what one thing we do know is interest rates ain't going back to zero. They ain't falling for a long time.
Yeah.
They're in an upward cycle. And that changes everything.
Mac, before we go, tell me a little bit about Kilconomics.
Kilconomics, John, the world's only festival of comedy and economics. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish who's the comedian and who's the economist. But it is.
Is that the truth?
November the 3rd to the 6th in Kilkenny. One city, three nights, 50 plus events. And we are covering all sorts, everything, the whole gamut. Global issues, local issues, future issues, past history, the whole thing. And it's a total laugh because, again, the comedians stand in the middle and they make sure that the economists speak in normal language. And when they start guffawing and going through jargon, they get the piss taken out of them.
Proper order, too.
Loads of laughs, loads of crack, and loads of knowledge. Get your tickets at kilconomics.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.